Greetings, salutations, and hello to all our listeners. Welcome to the very first episode of the Essential Mooting Guide, the podcast, as brought to you by the Moot Court Society of the Faculty of Law, Universitas Padjajaran. My name is Travis Wallio, and I am the Chief Coordinator for International Moot Court Competitions at our Moot Court Society. But today, I am also your host, and I will be introducing you to the captivating world of International Moot Court and how it can help you build your legal career. During this podcast, we'll be answering all of your questions about international moot courts. Things like, what is moot court? Why should I join it? How is it helpful to building my legal career? Further along the line, we'll also be answering questions like, what international moot courts does Universitas Padjajaran participate in? Because I'm interested in joining. Which one should I pick? But of course, before we get too far off topic, today we have two special guests to help us break in the new show. They are alumni of Universitas Padjajaran's Faculty of Law, as well as ex-international mootis from the Moot Court Society, and they will be explaining to you how international moot court has helped shape their careers and why you should partake in it to help shape yours. First, for those of you interested in pursuing a career in the public sector, we have Ms. Ami Nibak, who is currently working in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Later on, we'll also be speaking to Mr. Zaka Hadisupani Oemang, a partner at AHA RPEC Counselors at Law, a law firm specializing in many different fields. Hopefully, he can help give us insight to you law students who are looking to work in more corporate jobs, especially law firms. Now, just before we hop into our conversations with our guests, let's briefly talk about moot courts in general. For those of you still unfamiliar, moot court is an extracurricular activity practiced at many different law schools, including our own at Universitas Padjajaran. It's a competitive simulation of either some form of court or arbitration and almost always involves two parts: the drafting of legal arguments in the form of a memorial or a memoranda, and the presentation of those documents in oral arguments. International moot courts, the kind of moot courts we'll be discussing here, simulate international courts and international arbitrations. We'll be discussing the technical aspects of this at a different episode, so be sure to look out for that. But once again, that brings us to today's theme. Why should I participate in IMCC at all? And what good will it do for me, especially as a law student? Well, without further ado, why don't we jump into our little chat with our first guest, the lovely Ms. Ami Nibak. Good afternoon, Ka Ami. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Travis?
I am doing fantastic as well, Ka. And once again, before anything, we'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to be on our podcast. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Hi, listeners. My name, well, you can just call me Almi. I graduated from Faculty of Law in 2018. It was almost 2 years ago. And now I'm currently a foreign service officer at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia.
Well, that's a phrase we're not ready to identify, Kak. What is that what did you say? Foreign service officer.
Could
you explain to us? I don't understand what that means. Maybe our listeners
service
don't.
Service officer. Yeah, so basically that means I'm currently a junior diplomat. I just got in 2019. Quite exciting, right? It's almost 2 years now. And you know, I'm just going to give you a disclaimer. Anything that I say here represents only my view and my experience, and don't hold it against anyone, especially, you know, my office, I think.
The Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Yeah.
Okay, so what I do, I'm just going to give you a brief info about what we do, our day-to-day task. In my directorate, I am actually handling bilateral relations between Indonesia and countries in North and Central America, as well as West Caribbean countries. And to put it simply, what we do is we maintain and establish cooperation with those countries. I specifically manage the economic and development relations with the United States. So I meet a lot of Americans.
Americans, that's exciting. Okay, but obviously, Ka, we're also here to talk about moot court. Could you tell us about which moot courts you did, when you did them?
Okay, if we are counting internal moot court, then I
sure, of course.
I did three. First of all, internal, you know, that was how I got my start. So you guys should do that too. This is an order, not a request.
Right.
Yes.
Definitely. now we call that welcoming day.
Okay.
But yeah, please. And then what else got?
Okay. Internal, and then I did Asia Cup 2016, and then JESSAP 2017. It was all a wholesome experience. Three of it.
Right, and I don't doubt that. Could you tell us a little bit about the contents of your moot courts? I mean, spoiler alert, obviously all of them are about public international law, right?
Yes, of course. It's about public international law. I forgot what internal was about, but I do remember my Asia Cup and JESSAP. Asia Cup was about traditional fishing rights and, you know, law of the sea. Because at that time, the South China Sea arbitral award was just awarded. And JESSAP was a lot of things. They had four themes for one moot court competition. So
yeah, and it's like that every year, right?
Yeah, it's like that every year. And it's always new themes. In 2017, it was transboundary natural resource. Sorry, transboundary water resource, cultural property, world heritage, as well as refugee. So it was a lot of topic to cover in one competition, but it was exciting and challenging also.
Great. Could you maybe, obviously those moot courts must have been, I mean, how long does it usually take for one of your moot courts to finish? I mean, Asia Cup's like what, 3 months, right? And
yeah,
then JESSAP was 6-7 months.
Yes, it was Yeah.
So obviously, 3 months, 7 months, and then internals like another month. That's not a short time, and obviously you have a lot of experiences there. Could you maybe help us by describing your experiences with moot court?
Gosh, it was. I think it was one of the best experiences in my life, because you know every time I go to Bandung, it was the experience that I missed the most. You know, I missed the team, the teamwork. You know. Learning how to plead properly and how to research and elaborate an argument. It was just exciting to learn everything during moot court. Not something that you could learn in a class. So it was very, very memorable and very valuable. And how to plead properly, how to speak to people properly, and how to research and how to elaborate an argument. And the last three things are important wherever you are. Especially when you start working. Well, with moot court, I also learned work ethic, you know? Though now I don't get home at 4 a.m. being a workaholic or anything, but being in moot court actually taught me how to focus for long hours without being bored. And, you know, always having this urge to research more and more and not feeling enough because, you know, I feel like I can always do better and research more. And also
Did you used to do that, like, until 4 a.m. in the morning with moot court?
Yeah. Well, during moot court, you know, and during the finalization of your memo, you would actually stay up quite late. But though... It taught me a lot about work ethic, you know, because you just had to focus for long hours. And yeah, I think it's one of the habits that are still with me now. And also I learned how to schedule my life and my tasks during moot court because I was always a serious person when it comes to school. So I did not want my GPA to be below 3.5. And doing moot court while maintaining grades, you know, you need some balance and you had to learn how to manage your time and maintain both things equally. So yeah, it taught you not just things like research and pleading, it also taught you life lessons, you know, like work ethics and, you know, teamwork, of course. And
do you think that's been applicable?
Working under pressure. I'm just adding one more thing. Working under pressure.
Right.
Okay.
Do you think that's been applicable for your job as a diplomat, or perhaps like even in the selection to be a diplomat? Because obviously you had to go through a rigorous selection process, of course.
During the selection, I think it helps. It helps a lot. In my career and during the selection, of course, during the selection, we had a lot of, you know, we had a long process, and one of it was about an essay on certain topics, and you know, we had to research before we write about those essays, and we had to do research a long way before the, you know, because the test, because we cannot research during the test, we had to actually prepare. And the work ethics I got from Moot Court actually helped me to prepare for that test. In my job, it helped me in managing my day-to-day task, and manage my after work life, I guess. And you know, because I can focus on long hours, I could stay work a bit. I can take home my work and I could still focus, you know, because, you know, it it's one of the habits that Moot Court taught you. You can focus and be, you know, be obsessed with one thing until you actually find it. And then you always don't feel enough, and you always feel like you can do better and research more. And that actually helps in, you know, building an argument, then afterwards discussing it with your seniors and with your superiors and stuff. And when it comes to talking, it kind of helps in terms of how you speak to your counterparts at the embassy. What to say and how you say it, you know, it matters and stuff. So I think, yeah, it's very, very beneficial. Had it not been...
On that note, I think it's actually, for the audience at least, I just want to say, recently I had spoken to a lawyer at Hahape, which is the biggest law firm in Indonesia right now. And one of their associates had done JESUP. She was from the UI team, Amanda Besar. And I'm sorry if Amanda Besar, if I'm dropping your name here. And she actually mentioned that Kak Almi Nibak was actually one of her favorite speakers during the entire competition, even up to the international rounds. Because she just mentioned how calming it was. I just remember so much that she said your voice was the most calming yet intelligent presentations that she had heard. So definitely take it from Kak Almi if she says that. You know.
Well, hey, to be fair, Amanda also has the most calming voice ever. When I heard her spoke, I was like, okay, girl got game. I was
right,
like,
okay, right.
she good. But she got her start in MUN, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, guys, juniors, do whatever you can to enhance your public speaking through Moot Court.
Definitely.
Especially.
I think that's great advice. But speaking of, I think that's a good place to segue into our next question, where I want to ask you, what was the most exciting part of Moot Court? I mean, obviously, I've done Moot Court, you meet a lot of new people, you get to travel, but for you, what was the most exciting part of all of the entire process?
I don't know. I enjoy everything in the process. Actually, well, I'm not going to say that I'm a good researcher, nor am I a good writer, nor am I a good pleader. But
she's being modest, guys.
No, I am. No, really. I enjoy everything about it, actually, especially having a team that could work together. I love my Asia Cup team so much, and I love my JESUP team too. And they, you know, both teams taught me a lot of things about teamwork that it's always nice to learn something new. And with each teams, you would learn how you can communicate with different people and stuff, and how you manage your problems, or how you work together as a team. And it would be different on each team, and it's always exciting to experience, because different people, different experiences, and also pleading is also interesting, especially the judges. Damn, the judges are always interesting. What else? Everything. I think, yeah, I can choose. I think everything. Everything is
exciting. It's almost relatable for me personally. But definitely, I agree that moot court is then, especially international moot court, a very, very long, but a very, very exciting process.
Yes.
Do you think that there were any key, well, I guess we already discussed this and you were kind of already kind of elaborated this, like,
okay,
how moot court gives you key lessons in life. Like you already mentioned your work ethic.
Yes.
And how to research and present and manage your life. I guess that's the answer to my question then, right?
Yes, of course. Don't forget to add in, you also learn how to work under pressure and learn how to manage frustration. Maybe back then during moot court, I did not manage my frustration quite well, but definitely there's a lesson to it, you know, there's always a lesson to it.
Well, I guess it would also kind of be like, we'd be lying a bit to these juniors if we told them that it was a completely easy process, though. Do you have anything to say about that?
No, it's not an easy process. Okay, I mentioned how it taught me how to manage frustration, because at times you could just be frustrated because you don't know what else to research and you still feel like it's not enough. When that time comes, you know, learn how to manage it with your team, because you always have your team on your back and it's okay to communicate with them and share with them the problems that you have and to find the solution to that problem, because after all, this is teamwork.
Did you ever have any interpersonal problems in your team that might have made difficulties? Personally, if I can add there, I remember my Asia Cup team, and I remember at the time there were certain times where we just hated each other. But obviously now they're some of my best friends at the Faculty of Law, and a lot of them have helped in producing this episode and everything like that. But maybe you have something to share on that.
On that, I think we didn't have a lot of differences. Especially with my Asia Cup team, we were like glued together. For my JSEP team, there was a lot of pressure and there was, I don't know, a bit of miscommunication or slight differences. But I think it was not something like, you know, like we hated each other and stuff. No, it was just, but it was something that we could communicate. So I think, yeah,
definitely.
At the end of the day, we were all cool.
At the end of the day, despite all of these difficulties, would you still say that it was a great experience for you? Like, even though it was hard and there's frustration and it's a long time too, it's sometimes 5-6 months, maybe more.
You know, I regret nothing about moot court actually, because if it wasn't for moot court competition, I wouldn't be where I am now. So, you know, I wouldn't be where I am now. I wouldn't learn the things that I do know now. So, you know, no regrets, really, no regrets. And yeah, just endure the hard process, I think.
Okay, I very much agree with that. I have just a couple more questions.
And okay.
Those questions are, this is actually the second to last question. Would you recommend then moot court? I mean, we've discussed how moot court is a long and rigorous process, but it's still worth it. It teaches you a lot of life lessons. But in the end, what would you say to the younger and newer law schools? The newer and younger law students who are contemplating international moot court, what would you say to them? Would you recommend it or would you have them think twice before joining?
Okay. You know, of course I recommend moot courts. If anything, I feel like I started late. I started on my fourth semester. And I felt like I should have started on the first semester. I wished I had started on my first year. So highly recommend it. 100 out of 10 experience.
100 out of 10 experience. That,
yeah,
that is a special experience. Now, we're starting to run out of time, but obviously I don't want to cut you short. I would like to give you the opportunity to say anything you would like to say, perhaps to the listeners before we end.
Okay. To the listeners, please join moot court competitions because it's very beneficial for your overall professional life. And, you know, I think I have to say this. Just don't feel down if you don't become an oralist, because, you know, it's a cup half full. Becoming an observer, a researcher, an oralist, it's all the same. It's a part of the experience. Just see it as a cup half full, or just see it, you know, just count for, just wait for, just, you know, long for the experience. Don't be frustrated if you don't become an oralist or something. Because
I would like
to
add on that point, actually, Guy, if I may.
Okay.
That when I did my last MOOT, which was IMLAM last year, so IMLAM 2019, I was the head delegate, whatever. I was such a terrible researcher. I would have been nothing without my researchers. I was an oralist. And, you know, it wasn't the best ranking, but it wasn't a bad one either. But I would not have come close to that if it wasn't for a researcher. So I very much agree with Yuka that oralist, researcher, it's still part of the team. And we look forward to receiving all new members for International Moot Court from Moot Court Society, regardless of if it's oralist or as a researcher.
And yeah, you know, because it's a team. So what matters is the team, actually. Not just you ranking number something as an oralist. It's the team.
Definitely. So, Kat, thank you so much for your time today. We know you have a busy schedule, being a diplomat and taking care of our relations with the South Americas. But it's really an honor to be able to talk with you on the podcast today. So thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you for having me too on your podcast. It's an honor, actually.
All right, guys. So we'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye.
Well, that wraps up our first conversation with the lovely Miss Ami Nibak, diplomat. We're now going to cut to break for a moment, but stay tuned for our next interview with Mr. Zaka Hadisupani, partner at AHA RP, Counselors at Law. Okay, and now we are back with the Essential Mooting Guide, the podcast. And now we are online with our second speaker for today, Mr. Zaka Hadisupani Oemang, our partner from AHA RP, Counselors at Law. Is that right, Kang?
Yes.
Okay. Just before we start, would you like to introduce yourself, Kang, for our audience?
First of all, thank you very much for the this opportunity that MCS Court Society inviting me to give you a bit a brief of about myself and also experience. Well, first of all, my complete name, which have been introduced by traffic, my name is Zaka Hadisupani Oemang. I'm born in Palembang, 25 January in 1983, and I'm practicing law as a lawyer and a founding partner of AHA RP, which consists of Azwar Hadisupani Room. There's three of us, two corporate most likely, and I'm handling litigation, even though I also handling a corporate in not every sector, but in a separate sector like shipping law, land law, manpower, and a little bit general corporate, and most of all, and about litigation.
Well, that means you have been practicing for quite a long time, yes?
I'm practicing law at least for professional, start in a professional almost 15 years, maybe more than 15 years. I do have a lot of experience for that. I start my career when I'm working, when I join like internship program from Dharmawan and Co. DNC, which founded by the late Dharmawan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm moving to Huta Barhalim and Gekan for 1 year, and then start my associates in Lubis Ganesh Wijoyo for 4 years, and join a top 10 big firm, five big firm at the time, and still, I think I still now, Mukhtar Kawarin Komar. This is the second oldest firm in Indonesia.
Wow.
This is the brief history about my career. Yeah.
So you did IMLAM twice, and that was back in 2005. You said
2004. I'm the first team from Pajajaran in order to join Fourth Maritime Law Arbitration Association in Singapore, and then fifth annual Maritime Law Arbitration competition in Sydney in 2005.
So that was quite a long time ago. Back even back when MGS was just beginning, I think, right?
Yeah, it is the first. I'm the first team set up by the Pajajaran, by Mr. Nasrul. He's a former Jessup, the first former Jessup team, and he initiated to create IMLAM that I'm the one of the members, and then time. For the fifth annual in Sydney, which I become a leader for that, I coordinator and also leader. I preparing everything about like how to fund the program and how to manage that, and then how to manage the team also, and how to prepare the material. Everything I do that. It's not the first time I do everything. That's very interesting. And at the time also the initiation of the establishing of World Court Society. So if you maybe I'm not well known about that, but I'm the person who initiate MCS, which I proposed to my friend of mine, Mr. Wahyu and Mr. Asep at the time, as to become the leader and the co-leader of Senate Faculty of Law, to how to make this the court society is separate from the ALSA, is separate from the Senate at the time.
Yes, they will absolutely.
About that. Well, I also in my feet is was in the both sides at the time, but I don't want to make the conflict because all the members are my friends.
Well, but that's great, because if you didn't do that, then we wouldn't have what we have now, and we wouldn't have this program, we wouldn't have this podcast and everything. Could I ask you on that topic, because like now that we've talking a little bit about your client and shipping, do you think that your experience when you did IMLAM maybe helped you during your career, especially because I heard also you have certain activities in your law firm with shipping, with air shipping, with shipping by sea, and IMLAM is a maritime arbitration mode. Do you think that any of your experience there could possibly help you when you were working during your entire career, any part of your career?
It definitely is. When two times I joined maritime law, that I should, that make me try to understand what is maritime law itself. Maritime law is very, very public. If you say maritime law, it's very public. If you talk about shipping law, it's very, very private. So maritime law is from the words of Lex Maritima, law of the maritime. So it consists of the shipping law, but they talk about insurance, they talk about the environmental law, some related to the maritime. Everything is related, but IMLAM mostly discuss about the private law. Private law is a shipping law. So one of our law firm in our firm is one of the subject is one of our practice group is a shipping law, and I recruit people of former he took like a master in shipping law, one of my associates Dicky. Sometimes we discuss. Now we only hand now our current client want to establish a shipping company, and we help.
We'd like to ask you also, because you did IMLAM twice, what do you think was the most exciting part of the process as a student at the time? What was most exciting for you? Was it maybe the preparation or the competition itself? Or maybe it was the traveling part of it? What do you think was the most exciting part of the moot court experience for you?
Is the how to understand what is the competition itself. It's very interesting because when at that time, when the first time I joined the IMLAM, we don't know what it is. What is it? We don't know the law. We like looking for an answer in the middle of the nowhere or something. We don't have a guide. We don't have a mentor. We understand by ourselves. We use our logic. it's very interesting. The first maritime law is tend to use the logic and feeling, you know. Sometimes right. we don't have a guide, a specific teacher to guide us. Well, at the time we learn by ourselves, so it's very interesting that we must try to do our best effort to give everything we have, ourselves, our time, our thoughts, our life sometimes, because at the time I get sick. I'm still thinking about how to do this. And then the second is about how you involve at the team, how you connect the team. It's not easy. This is the hard part, I think. How do you connect the understanding, your understanding, his understanding, to become a group understanding. It's very important. Work as a team is very important.
Seeing as you have like this special experience with Moot Court, would you recommend it to especially the younger students? Would you say
yes? I recommend that the younger students now not only study at home, study at the university, try to learn a lot how to draft, how to prepare drafting, how to increase your analysis thoughts. Yeah, it's very important in it when you are working as a lawyer. We are engineering, you know? We're engineering in law. We must have a thoughts, deep thoughts. And then we must generate every issues. We must capture any issues, and then we must connect it every issues, and we must step in it every issues, and it's very complicated. So the young style is only reading at home, and understand the law as just know the law. But comprehend, they don't have now.
I agree very much.
And not comprehend, but you was part of the law itself. So like comprehend is still not the high level. But there is more than that. You must sleep with the law itself. Like you become part of the law if you wanna be a lawyer. Because lawyers,
I'm part of the law, right?
Lawyers is we must have a ability to forecast about what the next transaction, what the next will be. There will be what happened. We must capture everything with which the client cannot see. We can I think as a tracker, you know, we can track everything, every issue of the law. Track the what we do now next. We can see the three or two times at the head in the future.
Right. It seems that we're running out of time soon. So, just as a closing, do you have anything you want to say to the listeners? Just as a closing statement.
The listeners, I think that what you do is you must reflect yourself. You must see what is your strength point and what is your weak point. And where your strength point is how to maintain and how to make it progress. To enhance, yeah.
Yes.
What a weakness? How you make? Don't erase your weakness. If your weakness become your strength, your weakness, try to modify. Maybe you prepare like a channel, or tools, or like you make engineering something like that. You prepare something to accommodate your weakness. And your weakness.
Right.
When you see your weakness and you know the way or to facilitate your weakness, I think it's become your strength point.
That is some great insight, sir. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have right now for our interview. But we would like to extend our utmost thanks for being on our show. And we wish the best for you and your firm, Mr. Daka.
Yes, of course. Anytime.
Well, that wraps up our first episode of the Essential Mooting Guide, the podcast.
We hope that both Kak Almi and Kang Zaka were able to give you some insight about Moot Court and interest you in signing up. We learned a lot of the key lessons that they learned during their experience with Moot Court, such as how Moot Court taught them to be better speakers and researchers, taught them to manage their lives better, gave them more drive, and especially teach them specific and practical fields of law that they were not able to get from their classes. Stay tuned though, because in our next episode, we will be speaking with some people from the Moot Court Society to talk about what exactly International Moot Court is, as well as which ones Universitas Padjadjaran participates in. Public and private, from the great Philip C. Jessop and the prestigious FISMOOTs, all the way to the fields of the Law of the Sea and foreign direct investment with Asia Cup and ALSA IMCC, which, mind you, will be opening registration very soon, we will be talking about all of these and more. So be sure to keep an eye out for our next episode. If you haven't done so, be sure to follow us on Spotify. And if you're listening to us from YouTube, be sure to give us a like and subscribe, and be sure to hit that notification bell so you know when we have a new episode out. We'll see you soon, Mooties, and remember, may it please the court.